In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But before he had union with her, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at that name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Let us pray. God our Father, we thank you for the closeness of your Spirit to our human condition. And we ask that as we pause briefly with your word, that you would guide our thinking, fasten our minds to your truth, and enable us to see more deeply into the immensity of all that happened in Bethlehem with the birth of Jesus. Amen. If you've ever taken a troubled mind with you to bed, then you'll be able to sympathise with the way that Joseph was feeling. He had been pledged to be married to Mary, and that was more than the commitment that we would take nowadays with engagement. It was almost like marriage, except that the man and woman hadn't begun to live together. Well, then Mary comes with this bombshell that she's pregnant, and Joseph isn't the father. And he struggles with how he should go forward. What could he do? He's a righteous man. It wouldn't be right to marry this woman, and yet he has sufficient feeling for her that he doesn't want to hurt her or to cause any public disgrace to fall upon her. So you can imagine the personal anguish that he's going through. And we're not sure if he's made up his mind or whether he's just still considering what to do, but he takes it to sleep. And in this sleep, God breaks into his consciousness. An angel is sent with a message to Joseph in this powerful dream. And when Joseph awakes in the morning, there are so many things that lie before him that he has to work out. First of all, he's faced with a challenge. We're told that when the Lord appeared to him in a dream, the angel said to him, "Joseph, son of Mary, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." The message to Joseph is, yes, this is a social mess, and we understand the personal anguish that you are going through. But Joseph, what you have to accept and what you have to believe is that God is working through all this to establish his good purpose. No matter what anxiety and pain you are going through in your mind, no matter what disgrace might fall upon you if you take this woman home to be your wife, God is working through all of this to advance his purpose. The key words here are, do not be afraid. It looks like a mess. The whole thing is a painful experience, but God is with you. God is working out his good purpose. It's at this time of year that all the quotations from the Chronicles of Narnia keep tumbling out of my mind. And one moment in The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe that I often think about is the moment when the children who have gone through the wardrobe into the land of Narnia, when they first hear the name of Aslan, the great lion. It's when they meet Mr. and Mrs. Beaver, who can speak English, of course. And they tell the children about Aslan and that he's a lion. And one of the children, I think it's Lucy, is a bit frightened about the prospect of meeting him. And she says, "Is he safe?" And Mr. Beaver says, "Safe? Of course he's not safe. But he's good. He's the king, I tell you." And friends, if we're looking for a safe God, if we're looking for a God who will always comfort us and cosset us, and massage this great tendency we all have towards sentimentality, then don't choose the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's not safe, but he's good. That's what Paul had to understand when he prayed to have the thorn extracted from his flesh. The answer that came back was, "It's staying there, Paul, because this is bringing glory to my name." That's what Jesus had to understand when he was tempted in the wilderness to take an easier way than the cross. And when he was in anguish in the Garden of Gethsemane, pleading with God for an easier way. You have to understand, my son, this is the only way to pay the price for the world's sin. This God that we worship is a challenge. And let's not forget that. Joseph faced this challenge when he awoke that morning, but he also received a promise from the angel. And the promise was this: Mary will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And in those words, Joseph was made aware that this story that was unfolding was beyond the problems that might fall to two little people who stayed in Israel at that time. This was a huge story. This was a story that was expanding into the greatest story that was ever told. A story that would affect the whole nation of Israel and indeed affect the whole of humankind. God's plan for renewing the universe was unfolding through these two little people. The fall was being reversed. History was moving towards a climactic moment when God would renew the whole of the universe, heaven and earth. And the remarkable thing about it all, friends, and we can't emphasize this enough, is that God was doing this through people. People like Joseph. People like Mary. Later on, it would be advanced through sinful, weak, inadequate people like Peter and James and John and all the rest of the boys. The kingdom was being extended through the preaching and through the character of these men. And we have to look at our life and work in these terms. That's one of the great encouragements of Christmas. That God can take the lives of individual people and use them to advance his kingdom. Remember what Jesus said in that very dramatic and powerful story. He said, "Every morsel of food that is given to a hungry person is significant because it's advancing the kingdom of heaven. And every cup of water that's given to somebody that is thirsty is significant because that is advancing the kingdom of heaven. Shelter that's given to the homeless, clothes that are given to the naked, visits that are made to the sick and those in prison, these, although they might be unseen by the majority of people, though they might be done even out of a sense of duty, though they might seem very small things, are advancing the cause of Jesus' kingdom here on earth." Joseph received a promise that in the things that were happening to himself and to Mary, a great and glorious purpose was being unfolded. And in the end, as Joseph reflected on that powerful experience in the dream, he was given a sense of fulfillment. Joseph was a righteous man, He knew the scriptures and he made the connection. Verse 22, all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Joseph knew all about this. He knew that the expectation had been bubbling through the millennia, that there would be a moment in the history of his people when God would break in decisively, that his kingdom would be seen upon the earth. And here he is being reassured that this moment has now arrived. And of course that's significant for us. But it reminds us, friends, that there is another installment in God's great project which will be unfolded at a time which has been set. Even as we gather here tonight, God sees the moment when Jesus will return to this earth. And just as a word of command was given at the beginning of all things and the earth came into being, so Christ's voice will be heard. Behold, I'm making all things new. And everything that causes us distress, everything that causes us pain, everything that causes a breakup in relationships and comes between us and our God, all of that will be flushed out of creation. And the universe will be renewed. You know, we're going through a harsh winter at present. You don't need me to remind you of it as you've trudged through the snow to get here tonight. You know, but it won't be too long before the first snowdrop appears. And in that, we see the promise of warmer days ahead, more colourful days ahead, brighter days ahead. And there is a sense in which the birth of Jesus is the snowdrop which springs up in the whole flow of human history and is a sign that there are better days to come, when once again he will return to take possession of his creation, renewing, completing the promises made to his people. Thanks be to God for this reassurance. Let us pray. God our Father, we ask that you would enable us to embrace the truth of your word, to live in the hope that only you can provide. We ask that this Christmas season would be a moment of grace for each one of us, to lead us more deeply into your truth, to enable us to experience more of your love. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.